Welcome to the Hustler's Guide to Flow. I'm your host, Marcia Miyake, and I'm taking you into the minds of some of the most incredible leaders in the medical, research, business, and yes, even spiritual fields to equip you with powerful insights and practical strategies to level up in business and in life. The next level version of yourself starts now. Welcome back to another episode, my loves. So today's episode, we are going to be talking about how to create sustainable change with ease. And now I know that title sounds crazy because we know that change is really hard to implement and even harder to maintain in the long term. So I'm actually going to be pulling some management theory here, and I'm going to be looking at John Cotter's 8-step process for leading change. So this is very often used in organizations that are trying to implement change, and it takes you through 8 steps that, according to John Cotter, must be done effectively for change to be sustainable. And I always thought to myself, you know, what is applicable in business is also applicable in our personal lives. And an organization is just a group of people. So I'm going to be taking you through the 8 steps, but I'm going to be tweaking them a little bit and making them relevant to you to support you in creating lasting change in your life. So if you haven't already joined our Facebook group, why haven't you joined? It's Empowering Women for Success. Make sure you join. We're doing weekly live trainings, lots of amazing content and connections happening over there. And if we can support you any further, if you want to really take a deep dive into this work and really build on the resilience and the wisdom you gained in 2020 to really set yourself up for success in 2021, then DM me at Marcia Miyake on Instagram or on Facebook, and I'll see you there. One of the most challenging topics for everybody. So if you feel like you're constantly trying to make change and it's not working out and you're very frustrated, you are not alone. You are not alone in trying to navigate change and consistently like failing at it. So more than 70% of change in organizations fail. 70% or more is reported. So I'd say it's probably even higher than that. So the change that the company set out to do failed in several areas. Now, when companies have the resources to invest in whole task force to create this change and to implement it, and you have these great minds developing the strategy and the human capital aspect of it and the long-term visioning, and then you bring in consultants, experts to bring the whole organization on board, so you have buy-in from everybody, why is it still failing? So that should make you feel a little bit better in that if organizations who have all this money behind them and all these experts don't usually succeed in their changes, then maybe you on your own trying to implement this change in your life and are failing, maybe that's normal. So I'm actually going to refer to John Cotter. So he is a strategic management researcher, an expert and practitioner, and he's like the guy you call in when you're trying to implement change in your company. And he came up with this 8-step system that he basically says, if you want to create transformational change and you want it to be sustainable in your company, you need to follow these 8 steps. And the reason I'm sharing them with you today is because a company is just a group of people. So the theory still applies here. So I'm going to use this theory and I'm going to apply it to your personal change. and how you can use this framework to create transformational and long-lasting change in your life. Now, I won't go into why too deeply, why we resist change. As humans, we are wired to resist change. And that is just part of our brain's strategy to keep us alive. This is very primitive, right? So we need to override our natural instinct to stay with what is familiar, to move towards the thing we want. So as people, generally, we are very afraid of change because we can measure what we're about to lose. Like if I'm trying to lose weight, like I can measure right now that I'm going to feel really bad that I'm not getting to eat this piece of cake. Like I want to have this piece of cake so I can measure that loss, right? I can see that loss, but I can't measure what the potential gain is. There's a level of uncertainty there. So because I can't know, because my brain can't say, oh, exactly, this is the definitive outcome of this behavior, I'm going to move away from that. I'm gonna be like, you know what? It's just easier. I'm going to eat the cake. I know it makes me feel good. I'm just going to enjoy this cake. I can measure the cost of doing this thing. I can't really measure the future. And that's because as humans, we are wired for certainty. We want to be certain. That keeps us safe. I don't know if you've heard of the saying, rather the devil you know. When people say that, they mean, I would rather sometimes be in this pain of this really crappy relationship or this overweight, unhealthy body, or this job that I hate. I would rather sit in this pain because at least I know it. So not only is it the familiarity part of it, like I'm familiar with this and so it's just become my norm, but it's actually the fear of like, I know how painful it is to be in this relationship, so I'm just gonna stay here. What if nobody else ever loves me after this guy? I don't know. Will I ever meet anybody? Maybe this is the best I deserve. Oh, I better stay in this job because what if I follow my dreams and I just fall on my face and I don't make the money that I want and my business doesn't work? I'd rather just stay in this very uncomfortable, soul-sucking job that I really don't enjoy because at least I know it. I'm just going to stay here and like not go to the gym because it makes me feel uncomfortable and I'm just going to keep eating this stuff that isn't good for me. Because what if I really try and do that thing and my body still doesn't change and I physically don't feel better in my body? Do you see what I mean? That our brain wants to go towards the thing that it knows, even if it doesn't feel good. So this is where the mind has to come in. Your higher level conscious needs to come in and be like, okay, brain, I'm gonna take over now. I get that you're trying to keep me safe. This is how we override that fear. We need to become aware of that fear. We need to be compassionate with ourselves and the way our brain goes and how we go into fear all the time. We need to be compassionate with ourselves, but know that that is just not the response that we want, that is going to be necessary to move our lives forward. Now let's look at an organization again. I worked in an organization where we were coming out with a strategic plan that was going to be a benefit to the organization. We had a vision to create this incredible organization and we painted a beautiful picture and we tried to get everybody on board. But the fear of the unknown for so many people made them resist the plan, even though we were going somewhere amazing. Their brains came up with every reason as to why this isn't a good idea. Doubting the company, doubting themselves, doubting their leaders and their managers and all that. So recognize your fear for what it is. And don't be angry with yourself because you are in a fearful state. This is normal. Your fear, whatever emotion comes up for you, is just a signpost. It's just a data point. And take the information you need from it. But decide if you want that emotion, that fear, to lead your life. And I can tell you, you will regret it. You will regret it. I actually know an incredible woman in her 70s who's like one of the most beautiful souls I have ever met. And she told me, like, I wish I had left 30 years ago. I don't have a life left. I have nothing without him. 30 years ago, I should have left. But she was too scared of the unknown. Step into that fear. Step into that fear, but don't do it irresponsibly. Do it with a support network. And as I said before, welcome to that support network of women that are going to support you through this change. Okay, so let's go back to John Cotter's 8 steps, okay? So step number one is create a sense of urgency. The sense of urgency is knowing I don't fucking want this anymore. I don't want this anymore. That yes, I might not be able to measure what's ahead of me in the future, but I know I'm worthy of more than this. That should be enough. And if you're a mama, you have little eyes watching you right now. You are setting the example. That should be the only, like, the all the urgency you need. Okay, so create a sense of urgency. Number two, form a powerful coalition. This is where we come in. A powerful coalition is a team of people to get together that you can link arms with, that's going to help you create the change. Nobody succeeds on their own. I hate the term self-made millionaire. No. There's no such thing as a self-made millionaire. If there is a man that like crushes it in business and becomes a millionaire, he wasn't self-made. If he has a wife and kids at home, that wife was a huge part of that. So you need to have a group of people, whether it's your partner or whether it's your friends. And if you don't have that around you, find it in other ways. We can create that through podcasts, through Facebook groups, through online communities of people who are really going to support this change, right? So, okay, then step three is create a vision for change. So once we've decided that this is an urgent thing, I need to change this because I want this future and I don't want this current reality to be my forever, I need to actually create a vision. And your vision needs to be founded and based on a why you're doing anything, because otherwise your vision is not going to be powerful enough. It's not going to carry you along. When obstacles come up, your vision is not going to be so amazing looking. So find your why, your true motivation, for wanting the change. Okay, then we need to communicate the vision. Communicate the vision in an organization, obviously, because we want the buy-in from our people. As a leader, you can't be like, I'm just going to change and I'm just not going to communicate the change and think that a change is going to happen in your company. Obviously, that's not what's going to happen. But for a personal change, for me, I want to change as an individual. I want to level up. I'm going to communicate the change for the accountability. A lot of us don't want to voice our goals because we're like, well, then what if I fail? Yeah, there's a chance you'll fail. No. Failure is a guarantee. It's the only guarantee to success is failure. And why we're so passionate about emotional agility and resilience is because you will get knocked down and you will feel like a failure sometimes, but can you get yourself back up? Okay, so we definitely want to be communicating that vision to hold ourselves accountable so that we, like, don't hide behind your goals. Don't have your whole goals, like, hidden somewhere. Bring them to the light. And you don't have to tell the world, but tell someone. Tell your coach or a mentor or someone that can help you along. Okay, then we want to, step number 5 is to remove obstacles. okay? In companies, we like to identify like where our bottlenecks are, where there's possibly people who are hindering the change, who are causing, you know, like not a positive energy about the change. So do the same thing in your life. Who's holding you back from the change that you're trying to create? Now, I'm not at all suggesting that if someone, a loved one in or someone in your family is not supportive of your change that you need to cut them out. But what I'm saying is be aware of that. Be aware of that person, the impact they're having on you, and then choose not to put them so high on the hierarchy of people that are impacting you. You know, Tony Robbins says, love your family, choose your peers. So you can love your family and they don't have to be your peers. Your peers are people who are headed the same way as you or already where you want to be, who are going to support you. If that's not your family, do not give them so much credit for opinions that they're going to have on your dream. Unless they're crushing it and they're already living the life that you just like aspire to, their opinion like should not matter. Okay, number six is create short-term wins. Oh my gosh, like this is probably one of the things I see most with people that are trying to create change and then they feel like they're failing because they didn't hit that ultimate goal, because they didn't actually celebrate the wins along the way. Like your brain loves reward. It loves reward. So if you're creating all this change and then you're not celebrating it, you're going to eventually, like emotionally, it's going to be like, well, what's the point? Or you're not even pausing to celebrate that win, whether it was just like, oh, I didn't react the way I thought I would have reacted in that situation. You need to celebrate those wins, because the other part is, let's go to an energetic side of it. You're also getting into the energy of what it would feel like to achieve that goal. So you wanna feel the energy of where you're going. If you always have this like high mountaintop goal and you've been hitting all these little goals along the way, you know, up the mountain, but you're not celebrating them, that mountaintop is gonna feel so far away. Okay, and then number seven is build on the change. Okay, so this is another mistake that I see happening is, I'll use weight loss as an example. So sometimes you're like, yes, I hit the goal. Like I wanted to be whatever your ideal weight is. So you hit that goal and then all of a sudden you go back to the old things that you were doing. Not the things that actually got you to that goal. So we need to build on that change. We cannot declare victory too early. This happens in organizations all the time. They think they've reached to like step six. Okay, we've celebrated the wins. Oh yes, we've reached the goal, and now I can just. Same with your mindset. All of it. Being present is one for me. So I'm like, oh, wow, I'm starting to feel quite calm these days. Like I am being a bit more present. I'm being more like mellow. I'm being more appreciative in the moment because I had been journaling, because I had been meditating, because I had been going to the gym. And then so I've celebrated that victory and then I stopped doing the things that actually got me there. Okay, which takes us to step eight, and that's anchoring the change in the organizational culture. And how we would interpret that for us as individuals, it's normalizing the change as a new norm for us. This is my new normal. Like I drink very rarely. I have treats pretty rarely. You know, what is that new established norm? Like, if you said that you wanted to be this ideal, like weight and feeling at more than weight, I think it's energy is a lot better. It's a lot better goal, because when you're an unhealthy weight, you just don't have the energy that you need to live a fulfilling life. You just don't feel good. You don't vibrate high when you're feeling heavy. It's just, you don't. So if we're aiming for instead the vibration, then when we've reached that energy, we need to keep doing those things to maintain that energy. It needs to become our new normal. So you don't just go back to the old things you were doing, because then you're going to go back to exactly where you were. That happens in relationships. That happens with your body, and that happens with your spirituality. We need to take our brain to the gym. We need to take our emotions to the gym. We need to do all of those things to keep ourselves vibrating at the level that we want to. So when we've reached that goal, it's like from a place of love and accomplishment for ourselves, then it's on to the next amazing goal, but from a full place, not from an empty, I'm not good enough place, but wow, this feels amazing. It's time for the next leveling up. So you never revert back to where you were. So guys, I took you through what organizations, okay, this is based on research of a group of people, right? So you're factoring lots of personality types. You're factoring lots of different types of mindsets in there. And this is the steps you would take an organization through to create transformational and lasting change. Well, if they're just a heap of people, well, then we can say that the same would be true for us. So the ones that I want to specifically focus on is create a sense of urgency, like know that the current reality of whatever area of your life it is, maybe it's all areas, is not good enough for you. And that's not coming from a place of ego. That's actually coming from a place of self-love and a knowingness that you're here to experience so much. But recognize what it is that you want to change first. That's number one. Create a sense of urgency. Know that what's happening right now is not okay. And then the other one that I would say is really important is to form that coalition. And I'm talking about community. Be around people who are inspired by your change. You are the average of the five people you spend most time with. We know that on an energetic level. We know that on a brainwave level, that if we get into a room, our brains start syncing up. As women, our other bodily functions syncing up. So isn't it safe to say that you literally become who you hang out with? You literally become them. So think about that when you're picking a mate. Think about that when you're hanging out with whoever you're hanging out with. Think about that when you get a job in an organization. Who are the people are you becoming? Who are they? And is it where you want to go? And if you don't have that currently in your life, we can be that for you. In this community, we will only be posting inspiring, uplifting, and life-transforming stuff. And if you want to do some deeper work, you can always DM us, and we'll be more than happy to get on a call and see how we can be of service. Because we know, I especially know how hard change can be, and how resistance shows up for people is so different. Some people's like, well, I don't want to change. Like, I'm cool as it is, even though they're resentful as fuck. Or some people will be like, yeah, but that's going to take me like 3 years and it's just going to take too long, so I'm just not going to do it. Well, the time is going to pass anyway. Do you want to be at your goal or do you want to still be here in 2 years? I'm always fascinated by that response. It's people who like don't want to go to university even though they want a job that requires that degree or whatever. Oh, it's going to take me like 4 years. Okay, so where are you going to be in 4 years? We need to change our mindsets around how we perceive change and what resistance will look like. Resistance can look like, yeah, I can't really afford that. Resistance will come up in so many different ways. So just recognize it and then reach out to someone who can help you overcome that. And then the other one I would say would be to build on the change. Once you see some progress towards your goals, do not stop short of the goal. The finish line should actually always be moving a little bit farther ahead. You don't ever reach anything but death. You don't ever reach, I've arrived. I don't know one person. Actually, the more successful people I study, the more I realize that as they're achieving that goal, they're setting the new one, except they're doing it from a place of wholeness. So they're not celebrating that win so quickly that they lose that momentum and then they're reverting back. And then the final one that I would highlight would be to anchor in the change. So ritualize the change. Ritualize it. You need to be doing it on a daily basis until it becomes your norm. The point of a ritual, the only reason you do a ritual is because in doing that act, you know the benefit of that act. So I'm going to do that act for 30 days until it becomes a part of who I am, like getting up every morning and having a glass of water. I need to do that specific thing. We need to ritualize it so it becomes who we are. So it doesn't require willpower and working from our 5% conscious mind to override that 95% subconscious mind that wants to do something else. The ritualizing of the change is bringing on that subconscious mind so that the whole, your entire being is in line with that change. So, if you are ready to make a change in one or all areas of your life, then DM me or D or Vesna and reach out to us. Do not stay playing small because you have a fear of the future or some underlying fear or scarcity mentality that's holding you back. You deserve better. You deserve better, and we would be an honor for us to support you going into 2021. 2020's been a bit of a ride for all of us. But let that be your blocks in which you build an incredible future. Let whatever pain and suffering you experience this year just create wisdom and strength and persistence that you need for 2021 to be your year. Okay, guys, I hope you got some powerful takeaways from this episode. If so, please share it with someone. And if you haven't done so already, please review and subscribe, as it helps us to spread our message of inspiration. Sending you all so much love, and I'll see you on the next episode of The Hustler's Guide to Flow.